Hello and welcome to another edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. If you heard me sub for Dawn and Drew during their recent vacation, then you've heard the first part of this show. If you don't want to hear it again, and I can't imagine that, just fast forward, but please listen to the last 7 minutes of this show. It's really important to me. I'll call this edition of Digital Flotsam Fun First, Serious Later. So I was about 15 going on 16. We lived in a big old house in the most rural section of Staten Island, the most rural part of New York City. It was within walking distance, maybe a half a mile at most, of a small regional airport. I had gone on a short 15-minute flight in a Piper Cub for $5.95 when we first moved there, and I was instantly hooked. I wanted nothing more than to learn how to fly. I got myself a job, which I will talk about later, but the whole purpose of taking the job was to save up money for flying lessons. My parents weren't about to pay for them, and they cost a staggering $15 an hour. My new job paid $1.10 per hour, so it was going to be a long haul. In fact, though, it was worse than that. After only one flight lesson, my career as a pilot was over. For I had discovered something totally unrelated that was far more exciting and far more worthy of my wages. I had discovered the opposite sex. From that moment on, every penny I earned was devoted to that pursuit. Every possession I owned that could be sold was sacrificed in the name of, well, let's call it female attention. But although there are certainly exciting stories involving those romantic pursuits, that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I want to tell you about in this case is the job that I had. The one that paid me $1.10 an hour. It was one of the oddest jobs I've ever had. On the northern edge of that little airport was a roadside attraction, a combination golf driving range, coin-operated baseball batting range, and an archery range. My bizarre job, along with a couple of other guys my age, was the retrieval of everything that was driven, batted, or shot out over that huge expanse of neatly mowed grass that was our driving, batting, shooting range. There was, of course, a limited supply of golf balls, baseballs, and arrows. The busier the place was, the smaller that supply got, and the more important our job of retrieving all that stuff became. And of course, we were sent out to retrieve these missiles while customers were still whacking and shooting them out there. And once they saw us out there, especially if we were wearing a protective helmet, their most important goal became hitting us. We were armed with ill-fitting football helmets, which were so painful to wear, we preferred to go out without them. And big wire baskets for carrying the golf balls, and these little wire basket scoops at the end of, like, golf club shafts. You could scoop up 3 balls before you had to empty the scoop into the basket. We got to be incredibly skilled at scooping up balls quickly with these things. It was actually a good thing when they aimed at us. The more people actually tried to hit you, the more likely they would miss you. I got hit by golf balls many times, but each time I felt fairly certain it was actually by accident. Getting hit by a golf ball is an interesting experience. The results would probably not even be imagined by most people. A golf ball that hits a soft part of your body leaves a welt that's an odd sort of ring-shaped impression, showing all of the tiny little dimples on the surface of the ball. For some reason, the dimples in the center of the impact area don't leave an impression. So it's like a donut. I was hit often enough that I know that this is normal. When you got hit on a hard area of your body, like your head or a knee, it just hurt like hell and left a painful lump. Despite the three different types of missiles being sent in our direction, I was never hit by anything other than a golf ball. The same could not be said of my buddy Malcolm. Malcolm was from England and had a distinct British accent. He was struck by everything the job had to offer. Like myself, he was struck by several golf balls. But unlike myself, he was also struck by baseballs. In fact, I was looking right at him one of those times. We were standing out in the field talking. He was telling me about a book he was reading about shipwrecked sailors who, having no fresh water to drink, drank their own urine. He meant urine, which I don't think is actually pronounced that differently in Great Britain, but he said urine. I looked at him totally puzzled. I had no idea what he was saying. At the precise moment I looked at him after he said urine, a baseball hit him square on the head, knocking him out cold. He dropped like a sack of potatoes. I dropped to my knees and leaned over him, wondering what I should do. All of a sudden, he just opened his eyes, looked up at me and said, "You know, they drank their own piss." I will never forget that. Malcolm was just an unlucky guy, I'm guessing. He also had another bizarrely funny injury while we worked there. Bizarrely funny, I guess, only if you have some knowledge of Greek mythology. I was heading out with an empty basket as he was coming in with a full one. As he got closer to me, I thought I could detect him limping. When he got close enough, I asked him, "What happened to you?" He said, "I got shot." "What do you mean you got shot?" He turned sideways, revealing an arrow sticking out of his heel. Sticking out of his Achilles tendon. That was one of the strangest jobs I've ever had. The boss was a guy named Anthony Papadopoulos. He always wore a handkerchief around his neck, which I assume was because of the tremendous amount of pockmarks he had all over his face and neck. He was otherwise sort of ruggedly handsome, as long as you didn't focus on that Swiss cheese complexion. He was a terrible boss. He yelled and screamed and belittled us about anything and everything. On really busy nights, we would eventually reach the point where there were no retrievable golf balls. All the balls would be laying on the ground in the first 20 yards from the tees, where no human ball retriever in their right mind would ever go. And Tony would be screaming at us that we were making him go out of business because we weren't bringing back enough golf balls. It's one of the only jobs I have ever had nightmares about. I used to dream that I was out there in the dark, unable to find any golf balls, and Tony would be screaming at me. I would come up on a huge pile of golf balls that were all stuck together, and I would be desperately trying to break balls away from the pile, all the while with Tony screaming in the background. The ultimate example of Tony's inhumanity came on what would be my last day on the job. It was an incredibly hot summer day. A weekend day. As the day wore on, the hot summer sun had baked my head into an awful headache. As I walked home on my lunch break, I knew something was terribly wrong. Take a nice deep breath right now. Imagine what it would be like if your head was pounding and the most you could manage was maybe a breath 1/10 that size. That's how I felt. When I got home, my mother immediately recognized my symptoms as heat exhaustion, and she put a bag of ice on my head and made me lie down on a cot on the front porch. I was lying there when Tony Papadopoulos careened into our driveway in his Cadillac convertible, kicking up a big cloud of dust. Tony wanted to know why I was late returning from lunch. My mother burst out of the front door and confronted him. Who the blank did he think he was? Who the blank did he think he was talking to? Get the blankety blank out of our driveway or she'd call the blanking cops. When he said, if he doesn't come back to work right now, he's fired. She replied, from this moment on, he's not allowed anywhere near your blanking ass. I pretended to be sleeping, but at that moment, I was the happiest kid on earth. Okay, I have to get serious about something. Those of you who have been listening to Digital Flotsam for a while now know that I grew up rather poor, and that at one time I lived in a low-income housing project, with my father working three jobs in order to give me and my little sister a future. Well, it worked. I got the education he never got the chance to receive. I grew up, had children of my own, and they received the education that I never had the chance to receive. I now live in a beautiful new home. My wife and I have great jobs and earn a nice living. In fact, I pay more in income tax now than I ever earned in a year during the first 20 years of my marriage. This is the legacy of the country I grew up in. But I'm getting more than just a little scared now about the future of the next generation of Americans. I grew up in a country that was the envy of most of the world's people, and our leaders were respected in the world community. My grandson is growing up in a country that is scorned by most people, with leaders who are reviled by most of the world's population. I grew up in a country where we respected authority, and that authority respected our constitutional rights. The world my grandson is growing up in has somehow managed to reverse those two things. I grew up in a country where the doctor made house calls and carried penicillin in his bag and charged $10 for the visit and the shot. And when my dad said he was a little short of cash right now, said, "Oh, don't worry about it, pay me when you can." My grandson, on the other hand, is growing up in a world where if you have cancer and you don't have top-of-the-line medical insurance, it means that even though you could be saved, you're going to die. I grew up in a world where monopolies were outlawed and where the airwaves were the property of the people, and where radio and TV stations could only keep their licenses if they proved that a good portion of their programming advanced the welfare of the public. My grandson is growing up in a country where unelected officials ignore the wishes of the public and make it legal for a few giant corporations to own all the radio stations, TV stations, and newspapers, thereby stifling any chance for opposing viewpoints to be seen, heard, or read. I grew up in a country that had just saved the world from an evil leader bent on forcing his will on other sovereign nations, who lied to his own people and convinced them that Poland was a threat, and whose ultimate goal was to rid the world of an entire religion. My grandson is growing up in a country whose leader has just revived that concept of lying to his people in order to quell a non-existent threat and to make an enemy out of a religion. I grew up in a country where corporations were regulated so that they didn't violate the safety and well-being of individual citizens. My grandson is growing up in a country whose government is controlled by giant corporations, where it takes hundreds of millions of dollars to get a job that pays $400,000. Our country is at a serious tipping point. If the American people don't start winning it back right now, there's little reason to believe it will survive. Please, this election year, get out and vote your conscience. Do not rely on big media to explain to you what's going on. They're not going to do it. In fact, they will lie to you every chance they get. Big media is concerned with only one thing: guaranteeing profit. Now, I have selected a candidate that I feel is the most dedicated to tipping us back towards the country we once were. If you're interested, check out my website, digitalflotsam.org, and you'll find it. However, the most important thing to me is that you consider all the alternatives and think for yourself. What kind of country do you want to leave to your grandchildren? Personally, I'm terrified for the future of mine. How do you feel? Well, there you have it. Another edition of Digital Flotsam. Please take my advice and consider carefully all that is at stake and all the choices you have before you. Please do your best to hear what the candidates have to say and not what big media has to say about them. And of course, listen to Alex Waller say,
and P-Dub, hold the microphone.